Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC. What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
You try not to predetermine. You want to let these guys play it out to the bitter end, you know, and that's kind of what we're doing. And then injuries will play part of it, and numbers at certain positions will play a part of it. Like, we don't know how many tight ends we're going to keep, how many backs we're going to keep, how many offensive linemen we're going to keep, and that has an impact on inside backer, safety, corner. So that's the biggest thing, is the numbers at each position is the most difficult, and that's something we're going to have to discuss and talk about. But there are still quite a few jobs that are still open for the taking. The 10 practice squad spots are also equally as important.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. We are on location. We are in Ashburn. We are at Redskins Park. We are in the podium room. What do you call this
interview
room?
Garage.
Interview room. It's basically a garage.
Yeah.
Or not even basically. It is a garage. It's a garage with a podium. Tandler's here. Hi, Tandler.
Hey, Tandler. Hi, Tandler.
Wait.
Yikes.
You're Tandler.
Right. Hi, JP.
You're shitty.
Wow. Tandler's losing it. It's not even week one. Mitch is here. How are you, Mitch?
What's up, guys? It's a little hot outside.
It is a little hot out. It's going to be – the audio in here is going to be interesting because it's a garage. It's next to the weight room. There's usually loud music playing. We'll see what happens. Actually, it seems kind of quiet now.
Echoey.
Lot to discuss. I want to go through there's a lot of kind of injury situations to discuss, not necessarily injuries. We're going to talk through that. We also have Warren Sharp, who runs Sharp Football, a really, really smart – analytical mind that looks at football in different ways and is steadfast that teams should not be running the ball on first downs. And it's pretty interesting when you hear his take on it all. You can follow him at Sharp Football. Smart dude. So I wanted to talk to him because he had a video that was really popular online about Adrian Peterson with the Redskins is actually going to be bad news for Jay Gruden because he's going to think that he needs to run more on first down. It's an interesting topic. I want you guys to listen to it, and then we'll react off it maybe later on in the week. Also, a number of folks via my Facebook page and elsewhere have been asking to hear from or about Adonis Alexander. So with the big man's help today, we grabbed Adonis Alexander and talked to him for, what do you say, Mitch, 5 minutes?
Good 5 minutes or
yeah.
so.
Yeah, and you can tell he's a rookie. He's not that used to talking to the media, but he also opened up in some spots. I thought he was really good.
Absolutely. He was great talking about how the locker room and how...
Well, and I was really interested in playing safety, playing corner and all that stuff. So you guys are going to enjoy that. All right, before we get to any of that, though, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. Who do we ride with, Tandler?
Oarsman Automotive of Virginia.
Let's see if Mitch can get it right.
Oarsman Automotive of Virginia, baby.
That's who we go with. Ride with them. All right. Colt McCoy was not at practice. Jay Gruden said...
Yeah, Colt's fine. He went to get his thumb checked out, and he got a sprain. He'll be okay.
The backup week one, Arizona.
Yeah, that's a plan for sure.
Why is that important? Because if it's fine, if his thumb wasn't fine, then they would have to have a third quarterback on the roster. It would impact lots of things on the
ripple
53.
Effect all through the 53. Wrench.
So are we all believing, Gruden, that there'll be two quarterbacks on the roster and the second one will be Colt?
Yes. Although, you know what? That first injury report comes out a week from Wednesday.
What's Tandler's rule number one?
Don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do.
Right. But the first injury report will be after they've made cuts. So
correct.
We'll know prior to that.
Then. That's true. That will really be the first
That will be the real report. Indication. That will be what they do.
Yes.
So everybody knows Thursday night is going to be the Kevin Hogan show. Colt wouldn't be playing in that anyway. And I am going to take Jay Gruden at his word that Colt is okay.
Yeah. did not seem to be a really serious injury when it happened. Quite possibly, if it's a regular season game coming up, he would be participating.
He doesn't need to play in the fourth preseason game anyway. Right. I mean, primarily, last two years,
it's been Nate Sudfeld the whole game. So Zach Brown has missed a few days of practice. He missed last week's game. There's an oblique strain, I think is what Gruden said.
That's what he said.
Oblique.
Has a what?
Oblique. Oh. Strain something.
Jay was quite dismissive of it, said he expects him to be fine for week one in Arizona. Where do we land on Zach Brown's oblique?
Same kind of thing. I think if they're playing a real game this week, I think he'd probably play. No, zero reason.
I haven't
for him to
seen
practice.
Him though. Have you guys seen
he
him?
He was on the field.
Rehab field. Yeah.
Right. Along with Josh Norman.
And we saw him on the field pregame at FedEx Field.
Same with Josh Norman. I don't believe it's an oblique with Norman. I'm not sure we've gotten exactly what it is.
Norman just could be a Veterans Day. Who knows?
Norman also plays through a lot.
I don't expect Norman to miss any real time. Okay. Encouraging yet different news. How about that? Chandler asked about Chris Thompson, and you asked about Jordan Reed.
Right.
Chris Thompson looks fantastic, Gruden said.
Really good. Chris looks fantastic. Really. He's been great in his pass blocking and obviously his routes, and he's hitting the hole. He looks great. I think he's ready to go.
Jason,
very upbeat.
I feel like Greg is making as much noise as possible because we're recording the podcast.
I think so, too.
Okay. Gruden was excited about CT.
Yeah. Running great. Cutting great.
Ready to go week one. We're fired up.
Yeah.
The Jordan Reed response.
Jordan Reed is getting there. I think the more he works, the more he runs. He had a great day today. Just getting in and out of his cuts, getting the feel with Alex and the different formations and all that. And I think he's on pace to be ready.
Was a little more subdued.
It was optimistic. Still optimistic. But still, yes, but not as enthusiastically so.
So I made a point of seeing Jordan in the locker room for a minute. He said he's feeling good, excited for week one, can't wait. And Jordan has been honest throughout this process about, I'm getting there, I'm feeling okay. You know, like Jordan's maturation in kind of a lost year, I think, is a really underdeveloped subplot of all this. He seems like a leader now. Like, it just seems like a different person, I feel.
I feel like he seems more confident in himself and his role.
I agree.
Very sure, cocksure of, you know, where he's supposed to be, what he's supposed to doing, and what he's supposed to be doing, and what he can do.
I agree.
Yeah, he is, and he, you know, but he's got to learn how to play without those bones in his toes. So that's
it's tricky.
It's a funny situation.
It's tricky. Yes, I didn't think there were any unnecessary bones in your toes, but evidently there are.
For some folks, there are. I don't know, dude. The last note I have here. I have two more notes. J.P. Holtz. All of a sudden, J.P. Holtz is getting kind of interesting going into roster cuts.
You know, J.P. Holtz did a nice job, and that's something we're considering. He can also play tight end a little bit, so he'd be, you know, possibly the fourth tight end slash fullback, which would impact some other position, whether it's running back or inside back or offensive lineman.
Yeah.
And here's why. Last year, the Redskins had a guy in Niles Paul that they could line up in any fullback situations they wanted. Niles also played all special teams. He was a capable tight end. Niles was a real Swiss Army knife for them. They don't have a Niles Paul unless J.P. Holtz becomes Niles Paul.
He was an underrated free agency loss, I think. Niles.
Niles. I thought that was a big loss.
And he's a locker room leader guy, all that stuff. Yeah. So I think why J.P. Holtz maybe matters a little bit more is there's some conversation about, hey, Adrian Peterson runs best with a fullback in front of him. Adrian Peterson doesn't necessarily agree with that, for the record, but you know, players
numbers,
don't always know what.
John Keim, who has those ESPN numbers he can pull up about two back situations, said that that he ran much better out of 20 personnel than he did out of other formations.
Right. 11, play 11. Number one in when Adrian Peterson's tenure with the Redskins.
J.P. Holtz was on the field.
Was your fullback.
And had a nice block.
And had a nice block.
Okay. And also, Jay said, was asked about, because, you know, anybody else play fullback. I figured they could put Jeremy Sprinkle back there.
I thought he would say somebody. Yes. Just so he didn't say nobody.
There are several candidates or something.
He said,
no, not really, unless we try to train somebody.
He's like, we don't have to run out of that set very much. That was his answer. But
yeah. But, you know, two tight ends, you can do a lot of the same stuff.
All of a sudden, J.P. Holtz has gotten to be an interesting situation. And
yeah,
Mitch,
I would say interesting, but yeah, I wouldn't go much further than that. But
tell the story, Mitch.
So we talked to him in the locker room, and one of the reporters asked him what he was doing before the Redskins called. And he was pretty honest. He was like, quite frankly, I didn't think I was getting a call. So I took a job as a logger outside of Pittsburgh, limbing trees and felling trees and all the things that lumberjacks and loggers do.
All I know is if this kid makes the team and then, like, has some big blocks or catches a pass, whatever happens with J.P. Holtz, the storyline of him being a logger coming straight into the NFL will explode.
Also, what a great nickname that is.
Right, the logger. Like, right.
It's great.
Remember that dude on the Saints a few years ago, maybe a while ago, that was like a beer delivery guy, yeah. And then they signed him to be a kick returner.
His name is Lewis.
Yeah, Michael Lewis, I want to say. Like, people love those kind of stuff. Like, they made a movie out of Mark Wahlberg. Remember that in Philly?
Yeah. I'm Dick Vermeil. Pretty good workout you just turned in. Any idea how fast you're running?
No, not really. It's a 4.5.
I don't want to put the cart before the horse with J.P. Holtz.
Wait, Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, it was like
he played it. He played the part.
Yeah.
Oh. That wasn't the player's name.
No.
Yes, Chandler. We know that.
Okay. They said they made a movie out of Mark Wahlberg.
Did you think we thought Mark Wahlberg played in the NFL?
I don't know. I can't remember the guy's name. They made a movie out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a book. It was, what was the guy's name?
Who cares, dude? The eighth receiver for the Eagles in 1974. If you think about
Let's move on.
Something, I don't know what's occurred. Maybe it was the J.P. Holtz conversation, but all of a sudden we have Redskins officials in the garage with us. We're just going to keep on trucking. All right, I want to get to Warren Sharp. I want to get to Adonis Alexander. Go ahead, Tanner.
I just want to make one point on a big picture subject. Okay, you know, just thinking about this, and Alex
Vince
addressed
Papali.
It. What?
Vince Papali.
Thank you.
Eagle receiver.
Thank goodness we sorted that out.
We.
You want to be on the podcast, Martrell? You're welcome to come in. You're welcome to join us.
Martrell Spate, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
This playing time in the preseason, and both JP and I wrote articles on it. And
unplanned.
The bottom, we'll start. We're in preseason for us too.
Right.
But there are 32 different coaches out there, obviously, and there are 32 different plans for how to handle your QB1 in the preseason. And in week one, half of those, and they all think they have great plans. And in week one, half those coaches are going to win, and half of them are going to lose. And during the course of the season, 12 of them are going to make the playoffs, and 20 of them are not. And,
They're dropping math.
Eight of them are going to get fired and thinking they had a great plan in the preseason. My bottom line point is, I just don't think it matters all that much in the end. Everybody thinks they have a great plan. Fans will rail against it, saying, "Oh, you're risking the quarterback for injury," or "Oh, you're not getting him ready enough." And we'll talk about it, and talk radio will talk about it, and everything else. But the bottom line is, it doesn't matter a whole lot.
How many of those coaches are 0-3 in their last three?
0-4, and that's what I was going to kind of finish this with. Jay Gruden is acutely aware that he hasn't won a season opener. Yes. He talked about it.
Well, we're 0-4, so we should do something different. We haven't won one yet. We've had a couple close ones. I can remember all of them.
Alex Smith was like, "Look, man, I don't think there's a big difference if I had played 20 more snaps when we go to Arizona."
But last year Kirk Cousins played 83 snaps and they lost the season opener.
Right. I don't think there's a formula. I really don't. No. I don't think there's one right way to do it.
I think a coach needs to do what he thinks is best for his team at that time.
I agree. And I think, frankly, and Jay kind of admitted, I think he's spooked about injuries after Geis and everything that happened last year.
Yep.
I think that's the truth of the matter. Okay. Chantilly Toyota. That's where you got to go to buy a Toyota. Oarsman.
Right down the road from me.
Oarsman of Toyota and Chantilly. Where is it, Taylor? What road is it on?
I'm not sure. But it's Chantilly. If it's Chantilly, it's near my house.
All right.
Right down the road from us here at the park.
Yeah, it's right down the road from us. If you got to pick a 4Runner or a Land Cruiser, which one would you buy?
I'm going Land Cruiser, baby.
Mitch likes big.
I'd probably go 4Runner.
You know what I want that my wife says I'm not allowed to get?
The
four-door Tacoma is exactly what I want.
I know.
It's the damn dog. She claims that because of car seats and the dog, we have to have an SUV.
When the dog gets older, you don't want him to have to be getting up into that.
I know. Well, I told her she could sit in the back and the dog could sit in the
front. I'm sure that went over well.
All right. It is time for Warren Sharp. Make sure you're checking out Oarsman Chantilly Toyota, home of the Oarsman Lifetime Edge. Warren Sharp is a very smart man. You're going to enjoy that. After him will be Adonis Alexander, and we will talk to you guys soon.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
What is a successful run pass breakdown for you? Percentages.
Right, so it's difficult to put a blanket statement, but let's say we're in a completely neutral situation. What I want to do is I want to go to the line of scrimmage every single play with a pass play called. And I want to audible into a run play if the defensive personnel is to the point that I'm going to have better success running the football. That's on any type of long distance, long yardage situation to go. If I'm in short yardage, I want to have a run play, because run plays on short yardage are far more efficient. But I'm not going to line up jumbo. I'm not going to bring on like three tight ends. I'm going to still run out of 12 or 21. Sometimes you can go to 11 personnel and spread the defense out even further. But that's the time that you're going to have the most efficient rushing, is not when you're lined up in jumbo formations. I'm also going to be running it near inside the red zone, because those are very efficient as well. But the main focus that I think a lot of teams need to look at is they need to have more pass inclination into their offense. Let's take an example, case study. The New Orleans Saints. Last season, the New Orleans Saints, they had some injuries along their offensive line. So what they decided to do is they decided to go a little bit more run heavy to protect Drew Brees a bit more. And they didn't have as good wide receiving talent last season. They just lost, obviously, Cook the year before that. And so they didn't have quite as good wide receivers there as what they did in 2016. So they ended up running the ball a lot more on first downs. And guess what? They have a great run team last season, one of the best in the NFL.
Sure.
So they were pretty productive when they ran the football. But you know what happened? They ended up passing the ball more on second down and passing the ball more on third down than they did the prior year. And the reason was because they had more yards to go on average on second and third down, because they were running the ball more. Even though it was successful, it's still not as positive a play as a Drew Brees pass attempt is. And as a result, they dropped from number one in third down conversion rate in 2016, when they were passing the ball a lot on first down, to number 22 in third down conversion rate last year, when they switched to a much more run-heavy approach on these first down plays. So even a team with a great rushing offense, if they run the ball too much on first down, it's to their detriment overall. The success is found when you pass the ball, especially when you line up in more base personnel like 12 or 21. Get that defense into, you know, having the rushing personnel on the field, and then you attack them with the pass. Those are going to be much more efficient first down plays.
And so the thought is just, even if you're only getting 6 yards, you know, it's a quick throw to a tight end or something, and it's a gain of 6, rather than, you know, a good run would be 4 yards. So you're in second and 4 rather than second and 6, something like that. I mean, is that the idea?
Right, and the other, that's the idea. But the other thing too is that I know a lot of coaches, they're concerned with what happens. Most coaches are pessimistic, right, when they're looking at plays. So they think of like the worst case scenario.
Right.
And so they think, well, we could forget the interception, forget the sacks. Let's say what's most likely to happen, because those things don't happen very much. Most likely, hey, we could throw an incompletion. So now we're in 2nd and 10. And what are we going to do? We didn't gain any yardage. What are we going to do on 2nd and 10? The reality, though, is this. The floor, and that's the floor, pretty much. You know, you're talking about gaining nothing. And which play is more likely to gain nothing? Well, obviously, a pass play is more likely to gain nothing, because run plays often will at least gain 1 or 2 yards, right? Even a bad run play.
Right.
So you say, well, the pass play has more likelihood to gain nothing, but it has a higher ceiling. But guess what's happened? The floor has also risen over the last 20 years. The floor used to be that 58% completion rate in the NFL on first and 10 in the first half, 58%. So that meant 42% of these passes were gaining no yards because they were incomplete.
Right.
But that over the years has risen from 58% up to over 65% the last 3 years. 65% is a very strong completion rate on first and 10 passes, and obviously some teams are going to be better than that, which means that it's less likely that you're going to hit that floor and gain no yards. So you're going to have better likelihood of gaining positive yards, and pretty much even a bad pass play is going to gain more yards than a bad run play if you're completing that ball. So there's a lot of ways that you can design efficient pass plays on first down through personnel, through motion, through audibles that can catch the defense off guard. And more and more teams are using that. I'll just give you the high-level breakdown. The teams in the league last year who passed the most on first and 10 in the first half.
Can I guess?
Go ahead and guess.
I'm guessing the Rams and the Niners are up there, just having watched McVay and Shanahan.
The Rams were the fifth most. The Niners were the eighth most. But consider that the Niners without Jimmy Garoppolo for much of the season.
Right.
Jimmy there, they're obviously going to have more trust.
Right.
But if you want to look at like the top teams in the league, the Steelers, the Eagles, the Chiefs, all three went to the playoffs. They're up there, the top three. Also inside like the top seven are the Rams, the Patriots, the Falcons, and the Saints. And then you go down to the 49ers. All of those teams made the playoffs last year, and people are going to say, oh, well, they also have great quarterbacks. That's not true. If you look at what the 2016 season looked like and take a look at the quarterback situation for the L.A. Rams with Jared Goff, everybody was writing him off as not being a very good quarterback.
Totally.
Take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles with Carson Wentz. Nobody was thinking after his 2016 season that, hey, this guy is like going to win
MVP candidate
next year.
Right.
But what the coaches did is the coaches came in, instilled confidence in their quarterback, and said, look, you had a bad year last year. We're not going to hide you. We're not going to not throw the ball with you. We're going to come out on first downs in the first half and be one of the most pass-heavy teams in the NFL. We're going to put our face into you. And both of those teams ended up obviously doing great, went to the playoffs, and in large part was because of the efficiency they got from their passing game.
All right. I know you got to run. Give me the quick why Redskins fans shouldn't be so excited about Adrian Peterson.
It's hard because you get a new back in there, and I think Geis would have been much better overall, but that's, we don't have anything to work with. So we got to get somebody in there. They brought in AP, and boom, like he had some really nice runs in their preseason game, and everybody's really excited about that.
Right.
Here's my problem with AP is that, first of all, we know Jay Gruden already has an affinity towards running the football too much on first and 10, right? The numbers clearly show that. It's not even a debate that the better teams in the league with quarterback situations all over are passing the ball more because it's more efficient. Some of the worst teams in the league with bad quarterback situations are running the ball a lot more. The Redskins do not need to be in that group. So what we have is AP looks so good in practice. He's such a physical specimen that coaches get this affinity toward running the football with AP. And so my concern is that it's a poor marriage in that I'm concerned that Jay Gruden will run the football more and that will skew the ceiling for the overall Redskins offense. If they don't go to more pass heavy on first down, it's going to be a problem. Now, Adrian Peterson, look, he's obviously had his day in the sun in the NFL and he's been great, but over the last several seasons, on first downs in the first half, he ranks 34th out of 37 running backs in yards per carry, averaging less than 3.5. He ranks 32nd out of 37 running backs in success rate. Only 39% of his runs were graded out as successful. In the Thursday game, the Redskins preseason game last week, I understand that maybe they were just testing AP out, but when he was in the game, they ran the ball on 6 of 7 first and 10 plays. He gained 2.8 yards per carry and posted a 33% success rate. So a lot of his great rushing was done outside of these first and 10 runs. And if the Redskins get this habit of, if AP is out there, they're really going to be likely to run the football. It's the worst thing you can have are these tendencies that other teams can pick up on. So I'm concerned about tendencies being developed. I'm concerned about Jay Gruden wanting to run the football a lot anyways on first and 10. And I'm concerned about AP having poor production the last several years on whatever team he's been on. Every single team has been the same thing. He's not been productive on first and 10 runs. So I hope that J. Jake Gruden goes more pass heavy. Trust Alex Smith. You just paid a bunch of money to get him. He's your franchise quarterback now. Let him throw the football more. Use Adrian Peterson. Incorporate runs. Some are come on first and 10, but don't be nearly as run heavy as you've been in the years past.
It's interesting, too, because I think his best run came on that fourth down. You know, it was fourth and one, and he actually took it out wide, to your point. Warren, I know you got to run. It is at Sharp Football on Twitter. What's the best website for folks to check you out?
If you want to get a free-to-use stats website where I update play-by-play data like a couple hours after the game every single game night, you can find that at sharpfootballstats.com. And if you're looking for predictions on games and information about articles and things that I write, those are found at sharpfootballanalysis.com.
First down and 20 following the Quanjo penalty from the 40-yard line. Kelly, Alexander on the coverage. Hamilton, the intended receiver.
Fourth preseason game for a rookie is a big opportunity. How are you approaching this game in Baltimore last preseason game?
Just, you know, staying in the playbook, making sure I know everything I'm supposed to know. Basically, just, you know, like I approached every other game that I played in, you know, the last game of my first game. So, of course, I'm going to approach it, you know, like a pro.
What do you think of your performance then in your Redskins debut?
I mean, I feel like I was getting my feet wet, you know. I feel like the sky's the limit from right here. You know, you can't go nowhere but up.
How's camp, and you dealt with the injury between training camp, preseason, how are you feeling as a Redskin, as a pro football player now?
I mean, it feel great, for real. Get to, you know, do something I love every day. So, just, you know, it's a blessing, for real.
What about on the field then? Are you acclimated to the defense, understanding the calls?
Yeah. I'm definitely picking it up real fast. So I feel real comfortable out there. You know, I can make a call here and there. You know, so everybody just, you know I'm the young person on the defense. When I am running with the ones and twos, give me the call. But I mean, for the most part, I've been picking up the play calls. You know, right?
Well, and there was a. You know, there's a discussion about, are you a safety or are you a cornerback? You're playing corner. How do you feel about getting used to that role, and could it be both eventually?
I mean, I hope it can be. I like playing safety, so, you know, I don't have a problem converting safety or corner. I love both of the positions. You know, whatever one they want me to help out at, you know, I'm all for it.
You have some experience against Lamar Jackson, I'm guessing, between Virginia Tech and Louisville?
Nah, I haven't seen him before.
Okay.
Yeah,
what about,
first time.
Well, and you're probably going to see Robert Griffin, too. I mean, a guy that I'm guessing you saw on TV.
Yeah, I definitely grew up watching him.
Right. I mean, is it kind of crazy for you to think you're going to be facing, no matter what, Thursday night in Baltimore, a Heisman-winning quarterback?
Yeah, that's definitely crazy. I mean, you can look in this locker room, you get to see a whole bunch of, you know, vets, future Hall of Famers. And, you know, it's crazy to even be gone burning, even be thudding up with AP. So, like, you know, it's just like, I guess they are them, but, you know, I'm stuck in this locker room. I definitely know everything in this locker room. Should I mess that up? That's me.
Let's talk about this then. The organization decided they could move on from Orlando Scandrick, who is a veteran, because they believe in you and Greg and Danny Johnson, and really went with a youth movement at corner. What was your reaction when you heard that Orlando was gone, and how have you used that since?
He was a good helping tool to me. So, you know, he was helping me get acclimated to the defense. So, I mean, it just means I got to step up. That's all that means. You know, young boys got to step up.
Is there like a cornerback depth chart? Where do you see yourself on that?
I mean, I don't know the depth chart.
I know we Josh rotate. Is at the top.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we were rotating, getting a feel for it. So I wouldn't know my exact spot.
And playing corner, I'm guessing you prefer to be on the outside. You like the slot stuff?
Yeah, it don't matter, for real. I play in the slot, off, on press.
All right. Thank you very much, Donis. Good luck this week.
Appreciate it.